Porchlight Family Media,
your source for family-centered content.
PorchlightFamilyMedia.com.
And now, Audio Theater Central.
Oh, hi there. I'm John Avery Whittaker. But most folks around here call me Whit.
My name is Finian Jones, and you are...
Hello, I'm Dave Arnold, your host for Focus on the Family Radio Theater.
Hello, I'm JD.
And I'm Roy.
And I'm Andrew, and we're your hosts for Audio Theater Central.
And Audio Theater Central, of course, is the show that's all about family-friendly audio drama. If you go to our website, we have a button there that says the top three. That's our focus, our main focus. We love Adventures in Odyssey, Focus on the Family Radio Theater, and Lamplighter Theater. But there's so many other series out there that we love to talk about. What's an example there, Roy?
Let's go with Jonathan Park.
Sure, Jonathan Park. Jonathan Park. Oh, I can't think of anything.
Jungle Jam.
Did you see that on the website?
Yeah, new news about Jungle Jam.
Possibly some new episodes coming.
That'll be exciting.
Well, this is episode 48, and speaking of Focus on the Family Radio Theater, that's what we're going to talk about today. We've got a review of C.S. Lewis at War, the dramatic story behind Mere Christianity, which I'm sure you're going to love. We've got some feedback coming up from Jane and from Christopher, but before all of that... Our wonderful newscaster.
Intrepid.
Yes.
Intrepid newscaster.
Wait, isn't that a car?
Yeah.
That too.
Dodge Intrepid.
Dodge Intrepid, like yes.
Our Dodge Intrepid newscaster.
No, no, no. Please don't relate me to a Dodge.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Our newscaster there, Roy, has some fantabulous news for us.
The cover art and title for album 58 of Adventures in Odyssey has been released. It will be titled The Ties That Bind and is expected to release fall 2014. The Odyssey team has revealed that they have cast a new actor for the character of Matthew Parker. Actor Gunnar Sizemore has stepped into the role, with the first episode featuring him to be included in album 58. The AIO update has reported that after his recent return as the voice of Dale Jacobs, Odyssey co-creator Phil Lawler is now also returning to the writing team for the series. That's all for the news this time. I'm Roy reporting for Audio Theater Central.
Chock full of Odyssey news today.
Odyssey, yes. Odyssey, Odyssey.
Is that C-H-O-C-K or C-H-A-L-K? What kind of chalk are we talking about?
Whichever you prefer.
That's a very good question. We'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
Our crack research team will have to get on that. Our chalk research team.
Chalk it up to them.
Well, as I mentioned a few moments ago, our focus on today's episode is C.S. Lewis at War, the dramatic story behind Mere Christianity from Focus on the Family Radio Theater. And as is our custom around here, our intrepid, are you an intrepid also?
Are you an intrepid?
No, Andrew? No.
So you're not an intrepid. What are you?
I don't know. Andrew? A focus? A focus summary reader.
Yes.
Well,
so Andrew, as is our custom, he's going to give us the summary of C.S. Lewis at War.
Okie dokie, or a fusion. I have owned both of those vehicles. Fusion summary reader.
I've owned two fusions in my lifetime.
A fusioning focus summary reader. Okay, here we go. Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis is widely considered one of the greatest Christian books of the 20th century. What most people don't realize is that it was first created as a series of radio broadcasts that came about due to the conflict and adversity faced by Britain during World War II. C.S. Lewis at War brings to life this amazing period in Lewis's life. It provides a rare insight into Lewis's life, friends, and family, illuminating a time of personal difficulty that also brought forth some of his most influential works, The Screwtape Letters, The Problem of Pain, and Mere Christianity. The story begins when England was at war with Germany. Injury and death impacted everyone. Day-to-day living was immensely difficult. Children were evacuated from London and sent to other parts of the country. Lewis himself took in a few. It was a time of strain, heartbreak, and weariness. A visionary in the BBC's religious department, James Welsh, passionately believed Christianity should be meaningful and relevant to the British people in this hour of need. Looking for new and diverse ways to present programs that explored Christian ideas, he contacted Oxford tutor, lecturer, and writer C.S. Lewis. Reluctant at first, Lewis finally agreed to make a case for a moral law, drawn from common human experience that he believed was essential as a foundation for faith in Christ. He presented his thoughts in a series of broadcast talks that were later gathered together and published as Mere Christianity. This behind-the-scenes drama powerfully integrates the ideas Lewis explored in Mere Christianity with the very real influence that comes from living out a Christian life in a period of trauma, proclaiming the reasons to trust God even when the world screams otherwise.
Fantastic job.
The fusion.
So, I mean, that gives you a really good overview of the series, if you, or this production, if you haven't heard it yet. I would say that it's completely accurate because of the way that it unfolds. It's very much telling that story of how much radio had a part in everyday life for the people in London and across the UK.
Right, it's amazing to consider how big of a piece of everyone's life that it was just to be able to turn on the radio and hear.
Yeah.
Yep.
Something normal in the midst of all the abnormalities that were going on.
I think when Andrew read that behind-the-scenes drama, that really summed it up pretty good.
Yeah.
Behind-the-scenes, that's exactly what it is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's very different, and at least in my opinion, it's very different from anything else that Focus on the Family Radio Theater has done before.
Yeah, I agree.
I think so, too. I was thinking that when I was listening to it, that it was excellent, obviously, from every standpoint, the acting, all of those things that Focus on the Family Radio Theater always delivers were, again, accomplished in this audio drama. But it was very different. To me, it was very interesting because I love behind the scenes. I love seeing the backstory. And obviously, radio is very interesting to me. And I really like C.S. Lewis's work. So it was very interesting to me. Would it be extremely interesting to a very wide audience of people is kind of an open question for me still. I don't know.
Right, because there is several points in here where there's several minutes of just dialogue. It's just like it's one person talking. You know, there's a few minutes where C.S. Lewis is just, you know, on his radio show just talking. And you could get kind of lost in some of those areas. But
yeah, I agree. So
I did think that the actor who did an impression there of Winston Churchill, that was amazing.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that.
That was so good. Oh, man.
So this was released in November 2013. The audio drama itself, which I want to make this clear, the audio drama is about 2.5 hours long, but also included in this package is a full audio book of Mere Christianity.
Wow.
Which is about 7.5 hours long. So you got 10 hours of audio content in this package.
Great.
And who is reading the audiobook?
The narrator for the audiobook is Philip Bird, which is a familiar name.
Oh, I mean, yes.
He's been in a lot of stuff that we have listened to over the years. Great, great work, too, because I have read excerpts from Mere Christianity before, and I have picked it up in the bookstore and kind of flipped through it, but I have never actually read the book. But I haven't listened to it all yet, but I'm really looking forward to actually listening to the entire text of Mere Christianity because it plays such a role in all of his other works. This was before The Chronicles of Narnia. Right around the time of the Screwtape Letters. So it's just fascinating to me, all of these works that we love and have talked about on the show in the past, it's kind of just filling in all the blanks.
Right.
It's really cool. So let's play a little clip here to give you a feel of it. And this is one of the most action-filled scenes in the whole drama here. This is C.S. Lewis speaking with Mrs. Moore, who is... It's kind of hard to explain their relationship. You kind of have to just hear the story. She was the mother of a real good friend of his, but they shared a home together, so this is them speaking together.
I'm sorry, Jack. It grieves me to think of another war. It seems like only yesterday we were suffering through the last one. And what am I going to do if you're called up? You're still of age, you know.
Yes, Minto. I know.
Lieutenant Lewis, sir! We're sitting ducks down here!
Sergeant! Our orders were to...
With respect to orders, sir! Who's here to see them through?
Where is the ranking officer?
A little bit of everywhere, I should think. Which makes you the ranking officer, I think. What should I do?
Get out of here! Fast!
Not much of a plan!
Has anyone had a plan for this war? Let's go! Move!
Move!
One hit, Sergeant Ayres! Sergeant! Oh, God help us! Medic! Someone! Help!
Oh, God, spare me. I don't believe I could endure that again.
Oh. So that's kind of a scene where he's looking back and remembering his service in the previous war, and here as World War II is ramping up, he's wondering if he's going to have to go back into service again. So it just shows the real life, the real personality of C.S. Lewis. And, you know, a lot of people in Christendom today look up to him as this great man, and they read his writings. But there was a real side to him, too. He had his own struggles,
right,
and things that he went through as well.
Exactly, and that was actually something I never knew about C.S. Lewis, that he had served in any war. Obviously, you just read his writings and know he was an academic, but that's what the focus ends up being instead of some of the other things that are brought to life in this drama.
Writer was Paul McCusker. Director was Paul McCusker. Sound design, Gap Digital. Music, John Campbell. We say these names and we know, you know, it goes without saying that the quality is just top-notch. I mean, it's stellar.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Roy.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if you're new to audio drama, John Campbell is like mainly the main producer for music for most shows. That he's like the go-to person. So
that's true. If you've heard any audio drama ever, it's a very good chance that John Campbell is involved in the music somehow. He's everywhere. And obviously this list of the kind of behind-the-scenes folks is very familiar to all of us that know audio drama. And if you're new to audio drama, these names will become very familiar to you as well.
Yes.
Because as you listen to anything that is produced by Focus on the Family, Lamplighter, Adventures in Odyssey, pretty much any of the big three that we mentioned before, these names will pop up again and again. So
we had producer Philip Glassboro on this, and hosted by Douglas Gresham,
whom we have not heard from for a while.
For a while, yeah. C.S. Lewis's
stepson.
And this is what really cool. Speaking of that, I don't know. I was listening to this the other day, and I was listening to C.S. Lewis's voice, the actor they had playing C.S. Lewis, which was Jeremy Northam. Did I say that right? Jeremy Northam.
I think it's Northam.
Northam, yeah. Jeremy Northam, excuse me. And I heard Douglas Gresham in his voice. I was like,
oh, yeah.
It was crazy.
That's funny.
But yeah, because, you know, I don't know.
With the relationship.
Just the relationship, yeah. It was pretty cool. I don't know.
I thought that it was very interesting, the folks that they picked to play these characters. Some of these characters, obviously, like C.S. Lewis himself, recordings exist of their voices. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it would be kind of weird and challenging to be an actor playing somebody that you could actually go pick up a recording of their voice and listen to what they actually sounded like.
I know. And just like you mentioned a minute ago, Winston Churchill.
Right.
I mean,
iconic voice.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that voice. But that guy pulled it off very well, and I don't see in the list here who that was. I know who it was in the back of my mind. I recognized his voice, but I can't recall which one of these folks it was, but he did an amazing job.
And of course, John Rhys Davies, who is our host for Lamplighter Theater, that wonderful voice, and he played George Gordon, who was the president of the college where C.S. Lewis worked.
And John Rhys Davies, of course, is kind of new, I guess, to audio drama for us, since he kind of stepped onto the scene with Lamplighter, but he's also a voice and personality that I'm sure is familiar to probably the widest range of people ever in an audio drama, since he was a main figure on The Lord of the Rings, and somebody can help me out with who he played, because I don't remember, but...
But I just love his voice, too. Just when he's just speaking, not even playing a part, just when he speaks, I don't know, there's something about the tonality of it.
And exactly.
Just the way he enunciates... It's a great voice. So let's kind of jump into some of the scene-by-scene things that we really appreciated about this one. Again, it's very different from other productions. It's very much a narrative of this backstory, so there's not tons and tons of action and adventure in this. So I agree with you, Andrew, that it may not appeal to as broad of an audience as the typical radio theater production, especially... The Chronicles of Narnia, even. I mean, this is the same guy, C.S. Lewis, but I do believe that this is probably going to appeal more to an older audience, perhaps. Not so much the young children. Would you agree with that, Roy?
I would say the same audience that appealed to Screwtape, maybe.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Good point. Good point.
So,
I mean, you kind of have to be familiar with the name C.S. Lewis to even appreciate this at all. And most likely kids in your 8 to 16 range aren't going to know that name very much. So it's definitely for a different audience. It feels like the whole thing feels like it's for a different audience, but if we're talking about a particular scene, the scene in which they're discussing ideas and things for the religious arm of the BBC, and this lady rushes in and says, "Oh, we have to get up to the roof and see what's happening. It's terrible and an amazing sight," or whatever. So they go up on top of the roof and they see the German bombers bombing the East End of London. And those actors did an amazing job of putting the awe of what was going on and the horror of it at the same time, while keeping that kind of British stolidity that's sort of, you know,
stoicism.
Exactly. It's very stereotypically British, I guess, if you want to put it that way. But because none of them freaked out. And I think if any of us saw anything like that, we would freak out. Right. But they still managed to put in that emotion that obviously was there as they were seeing their homes just being destroyed. That's really what was going on.
Well, and we say that we may just lose it. But then again, in that moment, maybe it's just so surreal that you're just like paralyzed, you know. But I totally agree. The way that played out, I mean, it's so lifelike. I mean, you could put yourself there.
Definitely.
I mean, the way that they described it, that it seems like the whole world is on fire.
Yeah, and you can just see it. Like, you're on the rooftop, you know, and you can see the orange sky or something.
That was an amazing scene.
Billowing smoke and everything.
And the explosions.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It was just, who needs television? Sorry.
Yeah.
Good point.
Well, and it kind of brought back to mind the last few scenes of the Screwtape Letters.
The
radio theater production of Screwtape Letters. It just, really cool. One of the scenes that I really appreciated was towards the beginning, probably the middle half of the first disc, that scene where those evacuated children from London had come to stay with C.S. Lewis, and he's talking to those little girls as they're being put to bed and just kind of trying to help ease their minds. I mean, they're separated from their families, miles and miles away from them, out in the country. I mean, they're used to living in the city of London, and now they're being uprooted and just trying to comfort them and be there for them. That was just a really neat scene, and I love that reference to G.A. Hinty.
Yes.
Yeah, what that book was really cool.
What book are you reading? Yeah, G.A.
That was really cool. And then also, I thought that it was very cool that he asked the little girl, what kind of books do you like to read? And yes. So she brought up, oh, things with kings and knights, and totally described Chronicles of Narnia. Exactly. And I was like, oh my word, that's so cool.
A good piece of trivia there too, you know, like where did he get his ideas?
The seed may have been planted right there. Yeah. Who knows? It's really cool. And then when some of my favorite scenes were the literary figures that are just so huge, even in today's society and culture, it's amazing, right? You have Tolkien that mm-hmm. was sitting there talking to C.S. Lewis, and huge, you know, millions of dollars have been spent on producing movies of their work, and they're still making, you know, huge, incredible productions out of their work, plays, and all of these things. And it's just amazing to hear that they just sat there and, like, ribbed each other.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're still writing about elves and all this exactly. stuff. Oh, you're crazy.
Hanging out in the coffee shop.
Exactly. You know? It was so cool. But I don't, you know, again, it kind of brings us back to who would that interest? Now, I've taken in college, I took two classes on English literature. So one of my favorite was when we got into the modern and we did Tolkien and the Lord of the Rings and things like that. And I did a report on the Lord of the Rings, comparing it to Tolkien's life and influences that kind of went into his work. It was kind of cool to hear that it was correct. That I had actually picked up on some of the right things, because he's sitting there talking about this. And you can kind of see how closely these authors' works were tied to their real lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just kind of neat to see that. So to me, it was obviously extremely interesting just to hear that part. But would somebody else that doesn't know very much get kind of bored with that? Possibly. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Something also to mention, and I don't recall if this was actually brought up in the story itself, but that group, that core group of Lewis and Tolkien and Charles Williams, that core group there that would always meet and kind of discuss their ideas, they called themselves the Inklings.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. Yes. That's. I knew they had a name. I didn't know what it was. That's very interesting.
That's
kind of
cool.
Funny, too.
Yeah. And while we're talking about it, the actor who played Tolkien was Nicholas Le Prévost. I'm not sure how you say it, but great voice. And
yes.
I don't understand where they get their nicknames. Where does C.S. Lewis, how do you get from Clive Staples Lewis, you get Jack?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I recall Douglas Gresham talking about that in like The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, or maybe The Magician's Nephew. And he just said that he liked being called Jack when he was a little kid, so he kind of picked it out himself.
Hmm.
Better than Clive.
Yeah.
Clive Staples.
I guess. I don't know.
And then Tolkien's nickname was Tollers.
Tollers?
T-O-L-L-E-R-S, Tollers.
Oh, wow.
Did you catch him? They called him that several times.
Yeah, I did. And
I missed
and
that.
And that's another part that's kind of interesting. I did hear that, and I thought, they've got to be talking about Tolkien. That's the only one that makes any sense. But that's not quite obvious,
mm-hmm.
I guess. So it can get a little confusing in there, I thought.
The only reason I knew that was because I had heard that interview with Paul McCusker and Douglas Gresham on the Focus on the Family radio theater, the Focus on the Family daily broadcast a few months back, right around the release date. They had them on the Daily Show and talked about the production, and he mentioned that fact that his nickname was Tollers. And so they actually, I think they even played a little clip of that scene. So that's how I knew that. But yeah, I agree. It may not have been obvious as to who they were referring to. Another interesting thing was how he got the whole idea, speaking of Lewis, how he got the idea to write the Screwtape letters. And it was just really cool to see how that whole idea, that seed of an idea just germinated, and he ran it by his friends, and they, wow, that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, exactly. And then there was the guy that always disagreed with everybody. I love that guy. That's so funny. Yeah, that I can't remember which character it was, but he was always saying something to kind of put everybody else off of what they were doing. I thought that was pretty funny. Because there's always one in every group.
True. So again, as this is kind of the story of the whole point of this narrative is kind of leading you to the point of how C.S. Lewis was eventually approached by the BBC to speak to the nation, basically, in this time of upheaval. And so throughout this whole story of his life, we have glimpses and scenes into what was going on with the BBC. And I love that character of Eric. He was great.
Yeah.
And he was played by Dominic Hecht, who has done a ton of voices on Lamplighter Theater.
And also even on Focus, because I recognized his voice as the angel. Well, not the angel, but the guy who called himself an angel in Healing from Father Gilbert. And there's a ton of stuff he plays on. I couldn't even name all of them, but it was kind of cool to hear his voice again as well.
I think those scenes are some of my favorite scenes. The one you coming in the radio station and then recording and stuff getting set up. It's so neat. Like, I thought of it. The producer's producing a scene of like a studio in his own studio. It's like, it's pretty cool.
Exactly. Oh, there was that one scene where that guy was just, you know, it sounded like he was just in the studio by himself reading the news.
Yeah.
And in the middle of his broadcast, a bomb goes off close, and he like hesitates and everything, but then just
keeps right on going.
Keeps right on. That was so cool. That was just an awesome scene.
That takes some guts to stay calm and professional behind the mic and just
exactly
move on.
He was keep calm and carrying on. That's what he was.
That's exactly what it was.
Exactly right. But there is one particular line that I loved. So Eric and his boss, James Welch, who is I don't know what his official title was, but he was like the head of the religion department for the BBC. Eric was kind of like his right-hand man. And they're trying to find some guy who can fill this slot, and he brings up C.S. Lewis, and Mr. Welch reads some of his writings, The Problem of Pain, which I'd like to get a hold of that and read that. It sounds fascinating to me. But he's like, well, let's get him in here. And Eric's like, well, you know, hold on there. We don't know what he sounds like. He's like, he may be lucid on the page, but sound like Mickey Mouse on the microphone.
Exactly. Which is funny because Mickey Mouse was that was a very new phenomenon coming out of Hollywood because of, obviously, Walt Disney was alive and had just very recently, if I remember correctly, maybe 10, 15 years before this is set, started all of that.
That's I had no idea about that. My history of Walt Disney was like, oh, Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse was alive back then.
Well, the first ever quote unquote princess for Disney was Snow White, and that was like in the 30s.
Oh, wow.
That was made 30s classics. Or 40s.
Hmm.
Well, it would have been the 30s, obviously.
And it was kind of interesting how the progression of these different assignments that C.S. Lewis was getting from different places. First, he was asked to write that, I guess it was originally supposed to be like an essay about pain, and then it turns into this book. And then the military asked him to come speak to and it was always just gradually moving him towards speaking eventually to the entire country. And it was always this focus of bringing the language down to what the common man could understand, because the academics were always speaking over their heads and using and even in the Church of England, even the church services, it almost everything that was said went right over the heads of the people, because the elite class, they had that air about them where to maintain my standing in this class of people, I can't lower myself, but all of these different assignments eventually bring him to this place where he can just speak to the people right where they're at.
Yeah.
Use colloquialisms and stuff like that that,
exactly.
that they understand. And during one of his failed attempts to reach the common people, after his talk, he was speaking with this guy, and he says, "You could have used less Latin." And he said, "That was French."
Exactly. Yeah, it was pretty good.
Is that the military guy?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yep.
Exactly.
He's like, and in that same scene, he's like, "Well, if you would have just talked to us like you're talking to me right now, I would have understood you a whole lot better."
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really true, and it's very interesting too, because he had the right idea, because when he was talking to the BBC about getting on the air, he said, you know, "What would you like me to talk about?" And they suggested something about why Jesus died on the cross. And he's like, "Well," he's like, "that sounds great, but shouldn't we start a little earlier?" Mm-hmm. Because telling people why Jesus had to die on the cross presupposes that they know what sin is.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, and I've been learning, obviously, from his talks to the military and the other things that he had been doing, like you said, this progression that was going on, that we can't assume that anymore. People don't just know what sin is and why they need to repent, as he was talking to that soldier.
Right.
And it was really cool to hear that.
So he gets this just amazing reaction from people who listened to his broadcast or read his serialized version of the Screwtape letters in, was it a magazine or a newspaper?
A newspaper, probably.
But he gets this one letter in particular where this woman references the character of the mother in the Screwtape letters. And she's like, he's like, "Well, was she angry about it?" And I think it was his brother, yes. Warney, who was reading the letter to him. He said, "No, she wants to know, when did you meet her mother and who gave you permission to write about her?"
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
So there are a few smatterings of bits of humor throughout this, but not a whole lot.
No.
This one is very very much just telling a straightforward story.
Right. It's just giving you what happened. And it's very... I think we may overemphasize this, and we don't want to put anybody off listening to it, because it's a very good story. It's very, very interesting, but it's not your normal radio theater story. Just like Screwtape wasn't your normal radio theater production. It's just kind of an adventure into a different way of giving us audio drama, I guess. But I really enjoyed it, and we hope that everybody else will too.
Well, to this day, my wife Kristen still hasn't listened to the Screwtape letters. It's just
right.
It doesn't appeal
to
her. It's
not interesting. Right. I don't know. I don't think my wife's listened to it either.
But right there at the end, the character of Mrs. Moore, or Minto, as she's called, I don't know if that was a nickname or if that was her actual first name. I never was clear on that. But she finally starts to soften a bit, and that scene where they're walking together, and that was a really neat scene. Well, the actress is Cecily O'Neill, and she really brought that character to a point where it's like, man. You don't even like her because she's got that abruptness to her and just always looking at the negative, and it seems like she's always criticizing everything that Jack is doing.
Right. And we don't find out why until a pretty good way into the story.
Yeah.
And it was very, again, it was extremely interesting to see what C.S. Lewis was dealing with in his personal life when he was writing these things, with his brother kind of getting involved in a lot of alcoholism, really is what he was doing, right? Mm-hmm. Every time he's talking, he's like, "Well, there's a really nice pub nearby, and so let's go, you know, I'll go with you." And Mrs. Minto is pointing out that he's drinking too much, and but also the fact that she gets upset with him because he was not with her son when he died, and he had promised he would be, but it was war, and, you know, it was just very interesting to see all the things that were going on kind of in his life at the time.
Yeah. The only criticism that I think that I have for this production is that there was too abrupt of an ending. It felt like it just left too much untold. Just like, it just ended all of a sudden. And it's like, okay, well, what happened here? What happened to Warnie? I mean, did he ever get his life back on track? What happened to Mrs. Moore? Did she finally come around?
I thought the same thing. I was like, oh, well, okay. I get that that's the end of the story about mere Christianity, kind of, but what happened about all the other things that were going on? Because we don't get it.
Yep.
And I, to be honest, I would have liked to kind of hear the story of Joy Gresham meeting C.S. Lewis.
Exactly.
I thought that would have been really cool.
Yeah.
Obviously, it hadn't happened yet, I would assume, since that's a really big event in his life and they didn't portray it at all. So I'm assuming it didn't happen until after all of this. But I would really like to hear that story, too.
Yeah.
I don't know if they ever will do that, but I would love to hear it.
Because I'm like, okay, so when is Douglas going to enter the picture here?
Exactly,
you know?
Right. When are we going to have the young Douglas talking to C.S. Lewis and expecting to see that big knight in shining armor and finding a professor instead or whatever that he talked about at the beginning of the Chronicles of Narnia?
So overall impressions of this, again, very high quality on the production side, the acting side, the writing. Again, it's probably not going to appeal to every single person. I'm going to say the probably high schooler and up would really enjoy it if they're interested in, if you're interested in history, especially World War II.
Yes.
If you're interested in behind the story or behind the scenes stories of these writings from C.S. Lewis, you're really going to enjoy this. Any final thoughts, Roy?
If you want to do a book report and you don't want to read the book, you can just listen to this.
Yeah, that's very true.
You said high
school.
I never
did that, ever.
He said high school, so I was like, you know, since we're piddling, no.
Of course, there is no book report to do with this. But.
Yeah.
Well, mere Christianity.
Yeah.
Sure.
You listen to the audiobook.
Yeah, exactly.
What about you, Andrew?
All in all, I think it was great, but we'll have to just kind of agree that, I don't know, it's kind of limited in its reach to people, I think. A lot of people will find it interesting, a lot of people, but on the same token, a lot of people who would normally listen to a radio theater will probably be put off by this, just kind of like, okay, this is kind of boring.
And well, we really don't have any spoiler alerts in this drama, you know? And a lot of dramas we usually do, which makes it exciting. It makes listeners want to listen to it.
There is no big ending here.
Not really, right. No. There's nothing to spoil.
You know exactly what's going to happen from the beginning. Just from the summary that you gave, Andrew, it tells us everything is going to happen. But
exactly.
No surprises. There really aren't. I mean, there's no surprises, but they do a very good job of making it into a drama, even though it kind of reminds me of Mitford, because there wasn't a whole lot of quote-unquote drama going on, except for in a couple places, but they still managed to make it really, really good. So
I think that's a good conclusion. So what's next, you ask? Well, I'll tell you. We're going to jump into some feedback.
Oh, thank you for asking.
My pleasure.
So, what do you think of the show?
Please leave your message after the tone.
Hi, Audio Theater Central.
Hey, guys. This is Austin Peachy.
Hello, JD, Roy, and Andrew. My name is Victoria.
Now, yesterday, I received a letter from a big fan.
No time to chat. I've got an email list.
Another package for me today.
No, it's actually just your mail.
Just your mail?
Just your mail.
That's a little demeaning, isn't it?
That is. Poor mail. Poor mail gets left out in the cold.
But today we have two pieces of mail, as you could say. Comments and from two listeners that we have, one from Jane and one from Christopher, and we are going to start off. We got a call from Jane.
Hello, my name is Jane. I do have a couple of questions, and that is, I'm having a hard time subscribing to your podcast, and would like to find a way to spread through iTunes. Another thing is, where do you get all your, CDs for the Lamplighter Theater, Focus on the Family Radio Theater, and other audio drama series? I also was wondering why you don't talk about Down Gilliam Lane, and there was a podcast called The Coleraine Connection that I've been trying to get that stopped airing and is off the web. I was wondering if your listeners had the whole Clarion Connection series before it came off. It was a podcast about the show. My number is... Thank you.
Just kind of bleeped out her phone number. We don't want to give that to the whole world.
Exactly.
Okay, so first of all, subscribing in iTunes. Thank you, Jane, for letting me know this. iTunes did some switching around with the way they link to stuff, and the link to iTunes on our website was broken. So that is now fixed, so thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah, thank you, Jane.
Yes, we appreciate that, because we can get our own podcast anytime we want, so we don't necessarily subscribe through iTunes.
I don't go clicking on all the buttons all the time every day to make sure they're still working, which maybe I should, but... Yes, so that is fixed. Click the subscribe in iTunes button on audiotheatercentral.com. Now it will work. Secondly, where do we get all these dramas? Well, some of them we purchase ourselves. And some of them, some of the producers actually send us review copies so we can talk about them and share them with you. So that's where those come from. Why do we not talk about DGL?
Mm-hmm.
You guys have any feelings on that?
I think that it is not impossible for us to talk about things that are kind of over and done with, but not something that's so big that's over and done with. It would take probably an entire year's worth of podcasts to cover the whole thing. And while people, I'm sure, still listen to it, it is a story that started and is now over. So I don't see the advantage or even really a point to doing it. I don't know. That's kind of my feeling.
Very well articulated, Andrew.
Yeah.
That's exactly the reason. You know, it is not an ongoing series. If they were still... Hey, if tomorrow they decided to start producing new ones, we'd jump in.
Definitely.
And probably start following it. But here's some good news, Jane. The Coleraine Connection podcast that she referred to was an official Down Gilead Lane podcast from... CBH, or Children's Bible Hour, the company who produced the series of Down Gilead Lane. They have removed it from their website. I don't know why they would take that down, but it is gone. However, here's another option for you. There is a podcast out there called Slow Walk Down Gilead Lane. It's these two guys, I believe it's Dave and Daniel, who went through the entire series episode by episode. And their website is still up. You can go check it out and follow along their reviews and discussions on every single episode of Down Gilead Lane. So, link in the show notes for that. So go check that podcast out. Now, if there is a listener out there who did download the episodes of Coleraine Connection, be sure to let us know and we'll maybe hook you up with Jane. And maybe you can share those files with her, because it sounds like she really would like to listen to those. So, Slow Walk Down Gilead Lane is another podcast option for you, and there's a link in the show notes for that.
Awesome. So, we also have lots and lots and lots of questions from Christopher. So, he asks us, because I live out of the U.S., I am not an OAC member. J.D., are you a charter member? Did Roy and Andrew join yet? And can you give a personal review? And did they add the Dusty episodes yet? I guess that I'm the only one that can answer this question.
Yes, you are.
I'm the only one that's joined the club. And I totally understand anyone not joining it, because we obviously have every Adventures in Odyssey. So,
but
can you give a personal review? So Roy did not join it yet. JD,
I don't think so.
I will give my personal review. The Odyssey Adventure Club, if you are a rabid fan, is worth it. Okay. If you're not a rabid fan, then I don't know if I would be spending the money on it. I mean, it's $15 a month. Goes obviously to a great place. Love Focus on the Family anyway, and it's also going to help, you know, missionaries and things of that nature or whatever. So That's kind of cool, but they've also added some very neat things on there. Like, they now have The Last Chance Detectives, 6 episodes of The Last Chance Detectives, 3 of which I did not even know existed.
Yeah.
So we'll be listening to those.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
They only released 3.
Exactly. I've never heard or even... I've never heard of or heard these other three, so that's worth it to me all by itself. I had no idea that these were here. And then we have they added the Officer Harley collection, which from the album art it looks like they have also released to the general public. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's kind of what it looks like to me. They do have the Lost episodes and the Family Portrait series, Truth Chronicles and Passages. So it's more than just Adventures in Odyssey, okay? It's everything that Odyssey has ever been involved in. Like I said, Last Chance Detectives, never before heard or only heard once on the radio, Officer Harley edition, Family Portraits, Odyssey USA stuff, Passages. And it goes obviously all the way up to the newest Odyssey. And there are the exclusive Odyssey Adventure Club episodes. And they also give you access to every podcast ever. So, all in all, I'd say it's worth it to join up if you really love Adventures in Odyssey. And the cool thing, too, is it's $15 per family. It's not $15 per person.
Right.
I actually
Good
have
point.
Technically two accounts for me and my wife. And either one of us can access the shows anywhere at any time. I can listen to it on my phone, anywhere.
Now, here's a point to make clear, though. You have access to these shows via the web or the smartphone or tablet app for iOS, but you do not you are not downloading these files
right.
and actually owning
right.
the files. You're paying for access to them.
Right. So it's streaming any Odyssey you want to listen to. So obviously, when we're at home on our Wi-Fi, it doesn't matter. Sure, it's the same thing as owning. If you're at home and on Wi-Fi or whatever,
right.
If you're out and about, you are paying kind of twice to listen to these, right? Because you are using your data
yeah.
on good, your phone and you're obviously paying the $15 a month. But all in all, again, I think it's worth doing.
And one more point. What do you suppose he's referring to as the dusty episodes? I'm not familiar with that term.
I'm not either.
Maybe he's just meaning those lost episodes or the old ones like
I
that.
I think
so. If that's what you're asking, Christopher, yes, those are on there.
And my guess is that if there was a Dusty Episodes collection that was actually called that, I don't recall it, but I can guarantee you that it's in here. I don't think they've missed anything on the Adventures Not or on the Odyssey Adventure Club site. Everything, like I said, everything they've ever done is there, even Passages. So it's all accessible.
Next question he asks is, can internationals join the ATC team as a writer? Answer, absolutely yes.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter where in the world you are. We would love to have you join the team and write some blog posts for us. So if you're interested in that, audiotheatercentral.com/ATC writer. Or click the button at the top of the website which says ATC correspondent.
Then he commented, Album 57, great album it was, but did life expectancy make you cry? It almost made me tear up, but I didn't cry. So comment and question.
What is your answer, Roy?
It was emotional. No, but they really did. We talked about this before.
Yeah, I don't think I boo-hooed and tears weren't streaming down my face, but yeah.
It was a tearjerker, right?
Yeah,
I mean, yeah. Odyssey has tearjerker moments. I mean, we've got like one of the biggest that stands out to me is the Underground Railroad, right?
Yeah,
big
yeah.
tearjerker. I mean, so it kind of falls in the same line with those to me. So he has a question here about jokes that we've mentioned. If you are a faithful listener and listen all the way past even the ending,
outro.
There is more past the ending. Ooh, that's very good. There is more past the ending. So. He's asking us, so we can send in jokes for you to read after the podcast is over. And the answer to that is yes. Please send us your jokes. Roy's collection of corny jokes doesn't quite, get us all the way there. So please send us your jokes, corny or otherwise. And we will happily read them on the show at the end.
Very good. Next two questions, I'm going to go ahead and take them together. He mentions our hotline, and he says, do international numbers count? I'm assuming if you want to make an international call, it will still work. You just dial the 1 before the number. That is an Arizona phone number. So if you want to pay for the international call, sure, you can do that. The computer voicemail, how does that work, he asked. Can we upload a voice recording? There's two different systems on our contact page on audiotheatercentral.com. One is through our voicemail feedback line. There's a little button on there where you click it and you put in your phone number. Click the button and it will call you, and that will be a free call for you. That will only work in the U.S. or Canada. And then it will just bring you right into our voicemail system. That again, that only works in the U.S. or Canada. The other option is another widget that you can click, and it will record your message through your microphone on your computer. That one, you can do that anywhere in the world. Click the button if you have a microphone on your computer, and it will start recording your message. If you mess up or whatever, that's fine. Just do it again and resend it. If you want to upload a voice recording, if you have some other recording device, go ahead, record your message, and just email it to us as an attachment.
Exactly.
So, hopefully that answers any questions that any other listener may have about how to get their voice feedback to us. And the next question, just want to briefly mention, we did change the branding for our network. It used to be Radio CSS Media. It is now Porchlight Family Media. And so we did some rebranding just because we felt like it was necessary with the direction that we're trying to take our network now. And our previous name wasn't quite as clear as our purpose, as to what our purposes were. So that's the reason for the name change.
So he is asking us if all of the dramas that we review are Christian. And I would have to say 95% are Christian. We've reviewed, I think, 2 shows that were not. Correct me if I'm wrong. Somebody, we did a couple things from Colonial Radio Theater and also Harry Nile, which is from
Jim French
Productions. And they are not overtly Christian, but they do adhere to the family-friendly standards that we have set up. So probably 95% of what we're doing is exclusively Christian audio drama, really.
But what you said is exactly true. But on the other hand, is The Chronicles of Narnia, is Oliver Twist, are those Christian?
Right.
Not necessarily.
No. But do they teach Christian values? Sure.
Yeah. So
they really do.
We're looking at things that are obviously family friendly, and they have some moral qualities that justify our discussion of them. So, sure, there's adaptations of classic works like The Prince and the Pauper, those kind of things. Those are not Christian per se, but they have good qualities and they're great stories that are worth talking about. So, a straight answer to are all the dramas we review Christian? No.
Then he asks, is your Crossmaker Christian? And yes, it is. The Crossmaker, that is the title of the audio drama that we are going to be producing here shortly. And it is the story of the backstory for the carpenter who made the cross for Jesus. And that is a Christian story.
Very good. And there'll be more information coming out about that very soon. Briefly, let me mention we're going to be launching a crowdfunding campaign with a very modest goal, just to try to cover some of the expenses that we incurred from equipment and design work that we had done just to get these CDs produced for this series. So that will be coming out very soon. Lots of great prizes if you want to participate in that. So keep your eyes out for that. And he also asked what happened to the Christmas drama. I'm not sure what he's referring to there. I don't remember.
I don't recall. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure, but there's lots of, we've talked about lots of Christmas-themed audio dramas in the past, so, again, I'm not sure what that question is in reference to. And then his last point is...
So, He is pointing out that our most recited line on the podcast, most frequently heard by you, the home listener, is, we can put a link in the show notes.
We can put a link in the show notes. We can put a link in the show notes.
We can put a link in the show notes.
We should totally put together a reel of us saying, we can put a link in the show notes.
We can put a link in the show notes.
That's a great point.
I mean, you can expect to hear that. There's always going to be links in the show notes for anything that we're talking about.
Look in the show notes. There'll be links.
Yeah. Exactly. We can switch it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And if you wouldn't mind if I ask you a favor, if you ever purchase any of the things that we talk about on the show, go through those links in the show notes because that helps us out. So for our fans out there and our wonderful listeners that appreciate what we're doing here, yeah, just click on those links in the show notes because it does help us out. Because when you purchase those items, it a percentage of it comes back to ATC, which helps us keep going. So thank you for doing that.
And there's no extra cost to you, so everybody wins.
Exactly. Well, this has been a fun discussion today on C.S. Lewis at War. Highly recommend that you check this one out. One thing I did forget to mention about that one is that the packaging of it is really, really cool. It's got that old-fashioned radio on there if you get the physical product. It's just really cool. Thank you very much for downloading the show and listening today. Show notes are found at audiotheatercentral.com/48. If you want to find out more information about what we're doing over here, join the ATC Insiders. It's free. There's a link in the show notes. Oh. I'm saying it again. There's a link in the show notes. And we'll just email you about all the cool stuff that we're up to. If you want to get in touch with us, there's so many different ways. We've kind of gone through some of those in the feedback segment. But if you want to get in touch with us, go to audiotheatercentral.com/contact. All of the different ways to get in touch with us is listed there. So it's on our contact page at audiotheatercentral.com. Thank you once again, and we will see you next time. Audio Theater Central is a production of Porchlight Family Media at porchlightfamilymedia.com. You got nothing for us today, huh, Roy?
Obviously, we need our listeners to come through with some jokes.
Come on, listeners, come on through.
We don't even have anything witty to say right now.
Anything witty. Witty. Wit-like. The best is yet to come. Is that witty
enough?
That
is very witty. As a matter of fact, that is one of the wittiest things that I've ever heard. And I'm disappointed that he hasn't said that in a very long time.
Best is yet to come. Andre Stryka. There's my impersonation of Andre Stryka.
Voice is too low.
Best is yet to come. I can't do it.
Dude, what is this preposterousness?
We're recording this on the back of a train. In our caboose.
We can put a link in the show notes.